Alhamdulillah hamdan muafiyan ni ni'ami mukafiyan ni mazidi wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa junudi amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim rijalul la tulhihim tijaratu wa la bay'un an dhikrillahi wa iqamis salati wa ita'iz zakah يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من طلب الدنيا حلالا استعفافا عن المسألة وسعيا على أهله وتعطفا على جاره لقي الله ووجهه كالقمر ليلة البدر ومن طلب الدنيا حلالا مكاثرا مرائيا لقي الله وهو عليه غضبان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The concern of nearly every person is how can I increase my income? Wherever I am, I need to move up. I need to progress. I can't remain stagnated. So if I'm working in a company, I need a promotion. Or I'm looking for a better opportunity. And if I have one business, I need to open another business. And another investment. Another property. Offshore investment. So the concern is, how can I get more? In Arabic, the word for more abundance is kathra. So everyone's concern is kathra. I need to get more. I need to earn more. My income must increase. However, deen teaches us that more important than kathra is barakah. More important than increase is to get blessings and barakah in whatever we have. So then a person may earn 8,000 rand, 10,000 rand a month. He's so content. He's so comfortable. He's so happy. He's not looking for anything more. He's not chasing for more. On the other hand, a person's monthly income can be 1 bar, 2 bar, maybe more than that. But he's looking for more. He's looking for more. He doesn't have that peace of mind, that satisfaction, that fulfillment that that wealth is supposed to be giving him. He doesn't have it. Why? There may be other causes as well. But one of the main causes is that he lacks barakah. He lacks blessings that he requires in his income. Therefore, our concern needs to be, how can we get more barakah in the income that we have? There's nothing wrong in increasing. But together with barakah. Increase without barakah, that's not going to bring that happiness. It's not going to bring the fulfillment. But if there's no increase, and there's barakah, it will bring us happiness and it will bring us fulfillment. Obviously this topic is a very vast topic. And there are many angles that we can discuss. How do we get barakah in our earnings? How do we get barakah in our income, in our business? In one hadith of Sahih Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a very important principle. Exactly what we are saying, the same concept, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains it in a hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about contracting parties, a buyer and a seller. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. If they are truthful, if they are honest, فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا, and they explain the defect of the item. This is a principle that can be applied in different aspects, depending on whatever business we may be involved in, or whatever means of acquiring we are involved in. Being honest and being transparent. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا, there will be barakah placed in that sale of theirs, in that income of theirs. The income that will come will be full of blessings. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains the opposite as well. He says, وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا. If they speak lies, if they are dishonest, وَكَتَمَا, and they are concealing the fault of that item or of that commodity. They don't explain the fault. Then what happens? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains, فَأَسَىٰ أَن يَرْبَحَا رِبْحًا وَيَمْحَقَا بَرَكَةَ بَيْعِهِمَا. Using the words that we were using earlier on, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they may get kathra, but they won't get barakah. They may get abundance, but they won't get the blessings. The words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَأَسَىٰ أَن يَرْبَحَا رِبْحًا. They may get a lot of profit. They will make a killing out of that deal. But وَيَمْحَقَا بَرَكَةَ بَيْعِهِمَا. Not they won't get barakat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they will destroy the barakah. Whatever barakah was there is destroyed. Why? Because of dishonesty and because of concealing the fault of that item. So this is a broad principle that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us. We will take a few incidents from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and our pious predecessors, to see how they conducted business. And few lessons that we can learn from their lives and apply it, and inshallah through this we will acquire barakah in our income as well. On one occasion, the narration appears in Sunan Tirmidhi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was purchasing an item, a garment. Now in the old days, at that time, the currency was gold and silver. So they required someone to weigh it so that the correct amount will be given. So there would be a person whose responsibility and his job would be to weigh that the gold and silver that is being paid. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to this person, the wazan, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, zin wa arjih, that weigh this commodity, weigh the price that I'm paying, weigh the gold, wa arjih, and give extra. In our terms, if you have to pay the person 100 rand, give him 110 rand or 120 rand. Not that now you must pay him less, or look for some way to pay him less. Somehow squeeze him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, pay extra. This is an important principle again that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us. That always give him the benefit of the doubt. Never mind, you may lose a little, but make sure that man doesn't lose. On the other hand, we will conduct ourselves in the opposite manner. That I can't lose, he can lose, no problem. So if we're not too clear about it, I must take the benefit of the doubt. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi once purchased an item and he placed a bucket of his as collateral. He didn't have the cash at that time, so he placed a bucket as collateral. When he went with the cash, and now it was obvious that he will take his bucket back, so the seller says, he presents two buckets to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, and he says, I'm not sure which one is yours, you can choose the right one. And both the buckets were identical. Both the buckets were identical. If it was one of us, we came out from the masjid, two pairs of shoes, exactly the same. I'll take the one that's better. The one that's newer, I'll take that one. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi says that I don't know which one is mine. Exactly which one is mine. Both are the same, they look the same. I don't know which one is mine. So, again, if you want to be pious, what we'll do? You can keep the bucket, I'm not paying you the cash. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi pays the cash and he says, keep the bucket also, and he goes away. The seller later on says that I knew which one was his bucket. I wanted to test the level of his taqwa, the level of his piety and honesty. That's why I confused him in that manner. Now when they conducted their business in this way, that they were so cautious that something which doesn't belong to me mustn't come to me. Forget something which doesn't belong to me coming to me. Even something that belongs to me, I must give him. Give him something extra. When they conducted themselves in that manner, then Allah placed that barakah in the sale that they did. Allah placed barakah in their earnings. Then we find on one occasion, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu an and another sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu an was sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. And they heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrating the famous hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you can be a complete believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. After hearing this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both these sahaba, Anas radiallahu anhu and another sahabi, they go into the marketplace and they see some item is being sold. So they ask the seller, how much do you want for it? He said, 30 dirhams. Just for our ease of our understanding, 30 rands. So, the other Sahabi who was with Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, what if I pay you 40? The seller says, it's very surprising that I am prepared to sell, I am happy to sell at 30, and you want to pay me 40. Normally we will squeeze, ask for a discount. An Indian will drive 20 kilometers to get something that's 2 rand cheaper, not realizing how much the petrol cost is. So, we're looking for bargains, we're looking for discounts, we'll squeeze the person. Here the Sahabi is saying, I'll pay you 10 rands more. It wasn't 10 rands, it was 10 silver coins more. So much more than 10 rands. I'll pay you 10 rands more. But why? Why you want to pay me that 10 rand more? While he's still questioning, the Sahabi says, can I pay you 50? So he says, I'm even more surprised. I'm prepared to sell at 30, 40% more, you're increasing the price. Who will ever do this? He says, I just heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating a hadith to us. And this was the difference between us, among the other differences. This was a major difference between us and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That they had such conviction on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hadith was enough for them. We will narrate an incident of Uthman radiallahu anhu later on. The same thing. One hadith was enough for them. So he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." None of you can be a complete believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. If I was selling this item, I will want that I get 50 for this item. Therefore, I'm prepared to pay 50. Now, when a person goes to this extent in being considerate, in seeing that the seller is happy, where will this person ever do someone down? Where will he ever squeeze a person? You know that the person is making a small profit. He has to run his whole home with that. But still we will squeeze, squeeze and squeeze. Whereas the extra that we may pay that person won't make any difference in our life. No difference whatsoever. But I must get it at my price. We know the market is bad. The person is desperate to sell. So, no problem. You can go away. I'll find it somewhere else. Now we conduct ourselves in this manner. What happens? We may get it at the cheaper price. No problem, we saved a few rands. But what we did is we destroyed the barakah. So that peace, happiness and contentment and fulfillment that we wanted from there, we don't get it. That item, we got it so cheap. But then, there's no happiness. It brings a whole lot of problems with that. Why? Because we squeezed that person. That person wasn't happy to sell it. As we explained the hadith of Rasulullah in the beginning, that we may make a lot of profit. In misconduct in business, you may make a lot of profit, but what will happen is the barakah is destroyed. There's no blessings in that transaction. And this was how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum conducted themselves. To make sure that it's a happy buyer, happy seller. And in that way there will be barakah, there will be blessings. On one occasion, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had sent a consignment of goods to his partner. So he was in partnership with someone, he sent an entire consignment to the partner to sell. But he told that partner that in the parcel, there is one garment that has a defect. In the whole parcel, there's one garment. Just to put us in perspective, a truckload, there's one item that is defective. But you make sure when you're selling it, you must explain the defect to the customer. The seller sold the item, he forgot to explain the defect, disclose the defect to the customer. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi heard about it, there was no way of tracing that person because he didn't even know who the person was. The person came, bought the parcel and he was gone. There was no way of tracing that person. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi not only gave the amount of that garment in sadaqah, or not only did he give the profit of the whole parcel in sadaqah, he gave the entire value of that parcel away in sadaqah. And that value of that item in today's, if you equate it, about 600 to 700,000 rand. Maybe from there 50 rand was doubtful. 50 rand may have been doubtful. 600 to 700,000 rand all in sadaqah. Why? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the defect is not disclosed, there won't be barakah. I don't want anything from it. Forget the profit, I don't even want the cost of it. Everything is given away in sadaqah. And he didn't stop there. Wafa sala sharikahu. That was the day he terminated and he concluded the partnership with that person. Since you are not cautious in business, I can't be your partner. Because of you, I will lack the barakah, or I will destroy the barakah in my earnings. And this was the caution that they exercised. And therefore they had that amount of barakah and they had that amount of blessings in their earnings. Just for the benefit of those that have come late on, we're explaining the importance of barakah in our earnings. One is to get more. And that is the concern of everyone, to increase our income. But more important than increasing our income is to secure barakah and blessings, because this is what brings fulfillment, this is what brings happiness, and this is what brings contentment. Another incident of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, these are just random incidents and relating to different aspects for us to understand what are those things that will bring barakah in our earnings. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had loaned money to a Majusi. He lent him some money. He lent money to a Majusi, to a fire worshipper. So when the appointed time came for him to collect his money, he goes to the house of that fire worshipper. Now he's a kafir. He's worshipping fire. He goes to his house. This man is owing him money. The time is up. The due date is up. He goes to collect his money that's due to him. As he reaches the home of that fire worshipper, he sees that under his shoe, there's some najasa, some impurity that has stuck onto his shoe, onto his sole. So he lifts it up and he shakes off the najasa from that shoe. But instead of that najasa flying onto the ground or falling onto the ground, it goes and it gets stuck on the wall of that Majusi, of that fire worshipper. This man owes him money. Now there's najasa that has stuck onto his wall. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ali is in a quandary, he's in a dilemma. What do I do? The wall is made of mud. If I have to scrape off the najasa, some of the sand, some of the mud also will be scraped off, which will damage the property of this person. He's owing him much more. But that little damage that will be caused to his property, so I can't scrape it off. And on the other hand, if I leave it there, then it looks so unsightly. Someone comes to his home, they see some najasa there right by his front door. It's something that doesn't look nice. No one will want some impurity right by his front door. So Imam Wanifa rahmatullah ali calls for him. First his slave girl comes, she says, call your master. As soon as he hears that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah ali is at the door, we know what happens when you're owing someone money. You won't even go to that masjid to read namaz. Why? He mustn't even see me. I don't have excuses. I finish all the excuses in my book. So immediately as soon as he comes out, he starts making excuses. Please, sorry, this, that, I will try and make a plan. He's giving some excuses. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah ali tells him, we've got a bigger problem. The man is owing him money. He says, we've got a bigger problem than the money. What's the bigger problem? There's this najasa and impurity that is stuck onto your wall. What are we going to do with this? كَيْفَ نَتَطَهَّرُ هَذَا How are we going to clean this najasa that has stuck here? That person turns around and he says to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah ali, أَتَطَهَّرُ نَفْسِي أَوَّلًا Let me first purify myself. And there and then he recites the shahada. Now this is a Muslim's conduct in business. When we show the character of Islam in business, then our business will be dawah. We will be in our businesses, but that will invite people to Islam. On the other hand, if we show the wrong conduct in business, then we don't bring disrepute to ourselves only. We bring disrepute to Islam. When people look at us, although we may say, I'm not the ambassador of Islam, people regard us to be the ambassadors of Islam. The most interaction perhaps we have with non-Muslims is in the business. How we deal with them, whether they be the clients, whether they be the customers, the suppliers, whatever it may be. So how we interact with them, how we conduct ourselves, this is their impression of Islam. If we conduct ourselves with honesty, Muslims are very honest people. But the converse also, the opposite is also true. Don't be deceived by that kurta and that big dirty. Don't be deceived by that big beard and the big turban. There's no problem with the kurta, there's no problem with the beard, there's no problem with the sunnah dress. The problem is with the person who is misconducting himself. And what's happening? He's bringing a bad reputation to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's bringing a bad reputation to Islam. He's bringing a bad reputation to deen. Therefore, it is extremely crucial, extremely critical that we conduct ourselves in the best of manners in business, especially with non-Muslims. All the time, we have this fear, what's going to happen? Those that have come from foreign places, xenophobia, etc. We can quell many of these things by just showing them good akhlaq in business. When the person sees that this person, my boss, he's so considerate. Last week someone told me, There's many good incidents, alhamdulillah. Many people who do good things. He says someone working in his company came to him and he told him that I'm resigning. So he calls for the person, he asks him, why are you resigning? He said, I've got some personal issues. Alright, you've got some personal issues. No problem. I will give you leave, paid leave for 1 month. That person is a non-Muslim, he's a local. He says, I will give you paid leave for 1 month. You go and sort out your issues, 1 month come, your job is still secure. He says, you sure? That the employee is shocked. He says, are you sure you will keep my job? Yes, you keep to your word, you come after 1 month, your job is here. I will pay you for that 1 month also. Now it may cost us a few thousand rand. But imagine what an impression we have created of Islam and the Muslims on the heart of that person. Will that person ever think of doing something wrong to Islam and the Muslims? Many years ago we are traveling with our Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sahab Dawud Barakatuhum, and the driver was speeding. We got pulled over near Moy River. And the cop says, you know what? You are Muslim, I'm not going to charge you. And then he gives his story. There are many other stories like this. He says that when I was a young boy, I couldn't afford school fees. I couldn't afford to run the home. There were some people in this town that had sponsored my entire career. And from that time, I took a vow that whenever I'm alone and I stop a Muslim, I will never charge him. Now, those people did some good. But look at the impression. So many Muslims are benefiting. But don't try to look for that cop. Maybe you won't find him. But so many people are benefiting. It's not that. It's the impression that we have created on that person's heart. That person can become a high-profile person one day. He may become a minister or whatever he may be. In a position of influence, there may be an issue between Muslims and non-Muslims. He will say that these Muslims did this to me. Because of that, I will take their side. Or I will not be biased and I will not do any injustice to them. And that is the impression that we can create of Islam and the Muslims where we have the opportunity is in our business. Provided we conduct ourselves according to Islam, how Islam teaches us. And this will be a da'wah. But as we explained, the opposite also is true. If a person is working, not only we have people under us, we're working for a non-Muslim company. They're giving us time off for our salah. But then we are taking advantage of it. So we're going and doing other things. Or whatever else it may be. Now we need to be extra cautious. Because if we conduct ourselves in the right way, then we're opening the doors for future Muslim staff. That person's heart will be open towards Muslims. Muslims are good people. They are honest people. If he came late, he came and told me that I came late. The boss didn't know he came late. Boss, I came 15 minutes late, deduct it from my salary. Most probably he won't deduct it. He will never deduct it. But he will appreciate the honesty. This man is so honest. I didn't know that he came late, but he came to tell me that he came late. So this is the way in which we can turn the hearts of non-Muslims towards Islam in our business, provided we conduct ourselves in the right manner. And obviously through that, imagine the barakah we will enjoy in our earnings. One last incident of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. We had explained, touched on it earlier, the yaqeen and the conviction that they had in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one occasion, sometimes we feel sahaba radiallahu anhu were all puzzlers, all poor people. So we can't relate to them. They were multi-millionaires among sahaba radiallahu anhum, extremely wealthy. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, extremely wealthy. Let us read Fadail Amal. How he spent in Tabuk. One expedition and how much he spent from there, we'll be able to gauge. If he could spend so much, how much he had. So he was about to buy a property. An orchard in those days. In today's time, a property. He was about to buy that orchard. They were about to shake hands on the deal. In our terms, sign it. When the seller says, I want 10,000 silver coins more. Let us just put it in our terms, 2 bars more. Take it or leave it. 2 bars more for this property. So, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he turns to Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, great sahabi of Rasulullah SAW again, a very wealthy sahabi. He turns to him and he says to him, I heard these words from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna allaha yudkhilu al-jannata rajulan samhan ba'i'an wa mubta'an wa qadiyan wa muqtadiya. Allah will enter that person into Jannah. Which person? That person who is easygoing. That person who is soft. That person who is lenient. Not to be a ruthless businessman. Unfortunately today, a hard businessman, a ruthless businessman has become a term of praise.
You know, that fellow, you can't mess around with him. He'll squeeze you. He knows how to make his price. That's not something of praise. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is praising who? He's praising the person who is lenient, who's considerate, who's soft. Rahimallahu rajulan samhan. That person who's easygoing, he's soft. Ba'i'an, when he's selling. Wa mubta'an, when he's buying. Wa qadiyan, when he's fulfilling his account, when he's paying his accounts. Wa muqtadiya, when he's demanding the money that's due to him. In all these situations, he's easygoing, he's lenient, he's soft. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, Allah will enter this person into Jannah. Guarantee of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, guarantee of Jannah through the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a person who is easygoing in a business, in his business deals. Uthman radiallahu anh turns to Abdul Rahman radiallahu anh and says that because of this hadith that I heard from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in another narration, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Rahim Allah, may Allah have mercy on such a person. Narration of Sahih Bukhari. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making dua. We go to pious people for duas. We must go. But here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making dua. Dua of mercy for that person who is easygoing, who is lenient in his business transactions. So Uthman radiallahu anh says to Abdul Rahman radiallahu anh, I heard this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such was their yaqeen and their conviction in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't mind pain so much more, provided I get these du'as and this guarantee of Jannah from the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says to that seller, Dunaka hadhihi al-ashrata alaf. Take your 10,000 silver coins extra. Why? لِأَسْتَوْجِبَ بِهِ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةَ الَّتِي سَمِعْتُهَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that I can become a recipient and I can become eligible for these words and this promise that I heard from the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now when Muslims conduct themselves in this manner, when we do business in this manner, then we will get that barakah that we're looking for, that fulfillment, that contentment. We will conclude on one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Really, this is such a comprehensive hadith. If we keep this hadith before us, then inshallah everything in our business will be in order. Everything in earning and spending will be in order. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains what should be the mindset of a Muslim businessman. One is the mindset of a materialistic person, a capitalist. One is his mindset. And one is the mindset of a Muslim. Our mindset, we won't learn from them. We will learn our mindset from our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will teach us how our mindset needs to be. And if the mindset is in order, everything will be in order. The behavior will be in order. The conduct will be in order. Everything will be in order according to the mindset. In the hadith of Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man talaba dunya halalan." That person who earns the dunya, but he earns halal. Obviously haram, we can't even talk about it. You can never dream of haram when you're involved in interest. You can never dream of barakah if you're involved in interest. You can never dream of barakah if you're involved in some haram transaction. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, "Man talaba dunya halalan." That person who is earning halal, the transaction being halal or the commodity being halal is not enough. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains what should be the mindset. He says, "Isti'afan anil mas'ala." The mindset of a Muslim when he's doing business is so that I don't need to stretch my hands out before anyone else. I don't need to beg others for favors. That's why I am earning. Isti'afan anil mas'ala. First thing. Second thing. Wasa'yan ala ahlihi. To support his family. So I have obligations. I need to support my family. And thirdly, a Muslim is not selfish. He's not self-centered. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَتَعَطُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِهِ. And to be compassionate to his neighbors, obviously neighbors and by way of extension, everyone else that is needy. So the Muslim, when he is in business, he's not there to make more. He is there to fulfill his obligations so that he don't need to stretch out his hand in front of anyone else, and so that he can help those that are around him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when this is the mindset of a person, doing what? Not performing salah. Doing business. لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَوَجْهُهُ كَالْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. When this man meets Allah, his face will be shining like the full moon. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words, his face will be shining like the full moon. Why? Because his mindset was correct when he did business. And as we explained, when the mindset is right, behavior will be right, conduct will be right, everything will be right, because the mindset is in order. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains the opposite as well. وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا. That person who is earning a halal livelihood, Again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying halal, not haram. We're not speaking about haram. That person who is earning a halal livelihood, but his mindset is wrong. His niyyah is wrong, is corrupt. What's his niyyah? What's his mindset? Mukathiran mura'iyan. Just to get more. Mukathiran, the same words we explained in the beginning. Kathra, to get more, to earn more. And then mura'iyan. If you have it, you must show it, you must flaunt it. So then, if I have it now, I need to show off. So the maqsad and the whole mindset of earning is mukathiran mura'iyan. To get more and to show off. Unfortunately today, if we introspect, many a times this is where we fall. That is just to get more and more and show off and show off. So if my brother is driving that, I need to drive that. If my brother did his daughter's wedding in that way, I need to outdo it. And Allah forbid, today we will say it also. I need to do it like that because they did it like that. So if they eating at a certain restaurant, I need to see, eat somewhere better. And then the whole world must see. So I will take a picture and post it on Instagram. Everyone must know where I eat. I don't eat on cheap joints. I eat in the top restaurants. So what are we doing for who? For our own enjoyment or for the whole world to see? Mukathiran mura'iyan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is saying, the person's whole reason, the mindset, the niyyah for earning is just to get more and to show what he has. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانِ. When this person meets Allah, Allah will be displeased with this person. So we have the opportunity that when we meet Allah, our face will shine like the full moon. And that is that we get the right mindset in business. We have that opportunity that we can get the guarantee of Jannat on the lips of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the dua of mercy on the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by us being lenient and by us being soft and easygoing in our business. We have the opportunity to get to secure barakah in our business dealings, according to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words. How? By us being transparent, by us being honest and truthful in our business dealings. Just to sum up, we are explaining that one is the concern of getting more. To get kathra, to get more and more. This should not be our concern. If we get more, no problem. There's nothing wrong in getting more. But more importantly, we need to secure the barakah and the blessings in whatever we have. Even if you get more, it must be with barakah. It mustn't be void of barakah and without barakah. And we have explained a few incidents from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the pious. How we can secure the barakah by being honest in our transactions, by giving the other party the benefit of the doubt, by showing our akhlaq and showing our good character in earning our income, and by being soft and lenient. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with all these great qualities and make us true ambassadors of deen wherever we are. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.